Good morning and welcome back to Nahyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet, the fourth chapter of the book of Shir HaShirim. And by the time we finish today, we will have finished half of the Sefer, because, yes, Shir HaShirim is only 8 prokim long. Our Perek is made up of 16 psukim, and it is essentially one speech, barring the last two psukim. The general topic is the praise of the kala, of the bride. It is now the Dod speaking to his kala. It sounds like these are words of endearment under the chuppah itself, or in the cheder yichud itself. This is a very intimate speech between the chasan and the kala. And what's very beautiful about this speech is, let's take a look at this. It seems to be that there are three parts of this song, or three songs that he sings to her. From Psukim Aleph to Zion, the first part of the song, is where he describes her physical beauty. He describes her face, he describes her body, very beautiful terms and lots of metaphors, lots of natural metaphors in the world of fauna and flora. Then he moves on to the descriptions in Psukim Ches to Yud Aleph, in the second part, and the descriptions are not just about the beauty, but now they're very personal. The word that keeps coming up is iti, with me, and he calls her Kala. This is the first time that, in fact, he has called this young lady his kala. This is about how much she is special to him. These are very beautiful descriptions about not just objectively how she looks, but who she is to him. And finally, the third part of the song continues in this way, and he describes, you know, this is a very strange description. We have to unpack this in a moment. Gan na'ul achosi kala, you're a locked garden. Gan na'ul mayan chasum, you're a closed spring. Shlachayich pardes rimonim im prima godim, karaf kafarim im neradim. So he describes how she's inaccessible. At which point, in the last pasuk in the perek, she seems to open up, and she says, "Uri tzafon uvoy semon, hafichi gani yizlu v'samav." She says, "Let my garden open, yavododi laganoi v'yochal prima godov." Let him enter the garden. So it seems to be her acquiescing and receiving him in this marriage, and he's made the love song to her. He has given her this beautiful description, and she welcomes him in. It is interesting, actually, that the first perek of perek. The first pasuk of Perek Hay is actually part of this song, so it's important to read it with this, with our description here, and that is, "Basi legani achosi kala, I've entered the garden, my sister, my bride, orisi mori im besamim, ochalti yari im dushi, shasisi yeni im chalavi, ichlu rei imush su v'shichru dodim," I've eaten the good parts of the bad parts, meaning to say that this union is going to be for the good and the bad, and he welcomes in the friends to the wedding feast. So this seems to be the pshat of the perek. This is a very beautiful love song. It certainly seems to focus around the actual wedding itself. We see an interesting halachic detail over here, and the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who says, from here we see that a man may not marry a woman against her will. Now, we take this for granted today, but understand that the Midrash is saying this many, many, many centuries ago, where this was not necessarily culturally accepted. Because you see from this perek that ultimately he makes his proposal to her, but she has to say in the end of the day that he can enter the garden, so to speak. That he, in the way she puts it is your void or dilaganoi, he can enter the garden. It has to be with her will. And in fact, if you read the text of Ksuba, it actually points out that she accepts the terms, which is very much has become culturally accepted, but it was not necessarily something which was culturally accepted in the world of yesteryear. Historical perspective, what's going on over here? It seems to be this is referring to Hashem. Again, Hashem is the Dod, expressing in terms of endearment how special the nation of Israel are and how beautiful her actions are to him, and how ultimately he will bring her back. He will reunite with her after the exile if she chooses to. And it's interesting to notice that in the drash over here, although these are very much very beautiful descriptions of her physical beauty, that every one of them, every single one of them, is darshaned by Chazal to mean something special about Knesset Israel, about the nation of Israel. Let's take an example. Pasuk Dalet. Here's how Pasuk Dalet goes. It says, "Kemigdal David Savorech." Your neck is like the Tower of David, Banoyle Salpios, built to hold weapons. Elef Amagen Toluyolov. Hung on it are 1,000 shields. Kol Shiltei Giborim, all the quivers of warriors. So this is a description of her. This one happens to be more militaristic. Other ones are more natural. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph says, "Om Rabbi Avin." Rabbi Avin says, or Rabbi Avino says, "My Kara." What is Talpios? Talpios refers to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the place that all the mouths are turned towards. So it's not describing a man talking about the beauty of a woman. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty of the world, turning to the nation of Israel and saying, ultimately, there's something very special. I've given you something special. You have Yerushalayim, the place where all tefillah can be centered around. So much more profound than simply a description of a love song of a man to a woman. One of the key questions in this perek is the idea of the garden. The garden, the gun, appears at the latter end of the perek a number of times. He describes her as a gan na'ul, and she finally says to him, "Yovoi dodi lagano." He can enter the garden, and at the end he says, "Basi lagani." I've come to the garden. What is this referring to? So it's interesting. The Torah Tamim quotes the Chazal that says that when the nation of Israel were in Egypt, there were many people who said, "You know what? They controlled them physically, and they also controlled them. They took advantage of the women of Klal Yisrael. They abused them because clearly these were the slave masters." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "No, Gan Na'ul Achosikala," that Israel were chaste. They were able to remain uninfected or unimpacted by the cultural morass of Egypt at the time. And in fact, Chazal explained this. It's expanded by the Meforshim to refer to not just Israel in the Hebrews in the land of Egypt, but this is a model for all of exile there afterwards. That when in exile, one of the zechuyos that allows us out is being chaste, is being able to retain our taharas hamishpacha, the purity of our family lives, is one of those zechuyos which allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back. However, there are other interpretations. So as an example, one of the later Meforshim, that Tsror Hamor, explains, what does it mean, Gan Na'ul? It means that in the Golos expression, in the Golos life that we lead, ultimately, we are not in the ability, do not have the capacity to express our full potential. We're limping around. We don't have sovereignty. We don't have the ability to make our own decisions. We're paying taxes to other countries and enhancing those countries wherever we go as the nation of Israel. But we have not yet, until very recently, the opportunity to have a sovereign government, to make decisions, to export the ideas of spirituality and the ideas that come with that to the rest of the world. That's what the Gan Na'ul is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is welcoming us back to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to be fully thriving. I want you to be able to express all the 613 mitzvahs, not just those which are the Shulchan Aruch of Galus. The Ralbag says this doesn't refer necessarily on a national level, but on a personal level. Every person is given a gun, but so many people they're given a gun as a garden. They have this earth which is ready for cultivating, and if they're not ready to open it up, they will remain a Gan Na'ul, a closed garden, unless they're willing to open up, unless they're willing to recognize their potential and realize that they're not simply a primate put on the earth to eat and be merry for tomorrow they die, but rather to actually to be able to change the world around them, to increase and impress themselves, to extract the potential within the garden that they own as well. It's worthwhile noting the idea of Basi Lagani, which is the beginning of the next parak, which is the conclusion of this, when the Chassan says, "Basi Lagani, I've come to my garden." This is very much a messianic idea. It's in fact, this is the first essay of the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he came with his first essay upon ascending to the being the Lubavitcher Rebbe was Basi Lagani on this particular topic, and the Mashiach that we all hope for is found in the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing restitution to that closed garden of Klal Yisrael, to the closed garden throughout all of history, which is both our zechus and a reflection of our reality. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.